All right, then. Wednesday, 5 p.m. Hope you're in a warm place, comfortable, or driving in a car with good heat. Hope you can stay with us for the next hour. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City. I'm Tom Ryan, lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan here as well. If you're a regular, you know this already, but bear with me when I go through the normal explanation of what we've been doing on Wednesdays. It's a sort of a simple task, really, but it's a lengthy task. We've decided that we wanted to salvage albums, do a little, whatever we could to try to help the idea of albums that appeared to be dying or at least dissipating pretty drastically. I don't mean albums in terms of vinyl. I just mean the idea of an artist putting together a collection of songs and releasing it as an album. That in itself has more or less gone to the wayside because of digitization of music and all of the services that most people use now, which will give you playlists and scramble songs. And after a while, people almost forget what albums are. And that makes little sense to me when I realized that almost all of the learning that I did from music came from listening to albums, whether it was, like I said, specific artists, or sometimes it was compilation records. And some of the albums on our list are compilations, not many, because I didn't want to include greatest hits unless there was a real, really good reason for that. But anyway, we decided to put together a list of 250 albums that never made the top 40, thinking that we could be serving two purposes at the same time, finding albums that weren't that well-known, but also great, and trying to support them, because after all, if I could do two things at the same time, support albums and support albums that maybe missed their opportunity. So basically we could be covering them again, which was all well and good. And we did that for a while. But then I began to think that, you know, to really tell the story, if this is a timeline, we really got to be including some of the best albums that were popular too. So we added another 250 to our list. Now, the list started with the timeline starting in 1955, working our way up toward the present. And that's what we've been doing ever since. We've been playing albums from 1955 and moving ever so slowly toward where we're up to now, pretty close to the halfway point, actually. We'll be just a little bit past the halfway point on the popular albums. We're beyond 250. Oh, that reminds me. I said 250 of each. It's double that. It's 500 of each. It's 1,000 albums that we're playing. Excuse me for that. So, yeah, now that's 1,000 albums is 20 years worth of music for our show. And we've done half of it. We've been doing this for about 10 years. So that's why on the popular side, we are halfway through. And on the alternative side, the not quite popular side, we're at number 216 with today's album. Now, this is an album that did not chart on the pop chart. And that's what matters. And I can only choose one chart. It doesn't make sense for me to change charts for different albums. This album, however, did become a number one album on the country chart. And that also shows another point of what we're about. I mean, this list is not really particularly heavy in any one specific style. We've been all over the place, from jazz, of course, country, rock and roll, all styles of rock and roll, R&B, the blues. Good music is good music. And I don't think it's my job to try to make anybody fall in love with any specific genre. I think it's our job to make everybody try to listen to all genres. And it's more fun that way. You know, you get to have a lot more diversity. So we're going to be covering a country album today. It's called Golden Ring. And the artists are George Jones and Tammy Wynette. Now, I read somewhere that George Jones, personally, has more hits than any artist in any genre. He has released hundreds of albums and probably even more singles. But his success is no fluke. Few people can sing a song with as much pathos as George Jones. And when he was married to Tammy Wynette, that pathos was cranked to 11. I mean, with the release of this album, Golden Wing, the couple was in the throes of divorce, which means that if you happened to be in compromised circumstances of your own, listening to this album could be dangerous for your mental health. In true country music fashion, every single song addresses a rocky relationship from various angles. But through some miracle, it manages to sidestep morose bitterness. In some crazy way, it almost sounds like they're having fun singing together, despite the circumstances. And yes, there are plenty of tearjerkers here. Some of the best, including songs like I've Seen Better Days, Near You, and the title track. But another song like But Did You Ever, that must be the most fun duet breakup song ever written. Before anything else, Jones and Wynette are stunningly talented pros. And on Wedding Ring or Golden Ring, they hone their craft by adapting their personal situation to suit the project. On an earlier album called The Grand Tour, George Jones sang a pretty funny song called Our Private Life, where he calls callous fans to ask for spreading rumors and developing poorly informed opinions about the lives of celebrities. Before their tumultuous marriage, Jones had a reputation that eclipsed rumor, including a stint in a padded cell for his advanced alcoholism. So he knew what to expect from fans who judged his every move as tabloid fodder. On Wedding Ring, Jones and Wynette recognized that their divorce would be analyzed and interpreted. So rather than hide behind a wall of pretense, they opened their doors and invited us all in. With public scrutiny defining the entire relationship, this was really their only choice. It was just a matter of defining the manner in which they would present themselves. With pride, dignity, and even a touch of humor, they grabbed the reins, gave their audience what they wanted, and made some of the best music in their already remarkable careers. Unfortunately, though, for George Jones, he would not be able to maintain that facade. His subsequent slide back into alcoholism is legendary, and for a few years, not only his career, but also his very life appeared to be in jeopardy. The fickle public shunned both Jones and Wynette as solo acts, mocking them in concert appearances and virtually demanding that they reunite. By then, Jones had a cocaine addiction to add to his troubles, and he sank into destitution, living out of his car, behaving deranged and delusional, while his weight dropped to less than 100 pounds. Jones may have more hits than any other human being, but he also had more lives than most cats. He eventually recovered after recording the song He Stopped Loving Her Today, one of the most moving country songs of all time, which became a huge hit and renewed public interest in a man with a five-decade-long career whose life virtually, almost literally, belonged to his audience. So, here's a divorced couple singing about divorce and making it sound like it's almost all right. So let's dig right in. The opening track was the leadoff single for the album, a very big hit in country music land from, you know, the Nashville sort of thing. Maybe a song that you're not familiar with, though, if you're from the New York area or somewhere else outside of the Southern United States. It's the title song for the album. It's called Golden Ring.
In a pawn shop in Chicago, on a sunny summer day, a couple gazes at the wedding rings, their own display.
She smiles and nods her head as he says, "Honey, that's for you. It's not much, but it's the best that I can do."
golden ring.
Golden ring.
With one tiny little stone waiting there.
Waiting there.
For someone to take me home by itself.
By itself.
It's just a cold metallic thing. Only love can make a golden wedding ring.
In a little wedding chapel, later on. That old familiar tune.
Tears roll down her cheeks and happy thoughts run through her head as he whispers low, with this ring I've been wed.
Golden ring,
golden ring,
with one tiny little stone shining ring,
shining ring.
Now at last it's found a home by itself,
by itself.
It's just a cold.
Says one thing's for certain, I don't love you anymore, and throws down the ring as she walks out the door.
Golden ring, with one tiny little stone cast aside, like the love that's dead and gone by itself,
by itself.
It's just a cold metallic thing.
Shop in Chicago
on a sunny summer day.
A couple gazes at the wedding rings there on display. Golden ring.
Tough song to dismiss. That was that actually, I believe it made the top 40. In national charts as well, that song in particular, but not the album. The album didn't go anywhere. The country audience is like, they're so like fickle and weird. It's hard to really even explain it, because George Jones was so incredibly popular on his own before he married Tammy Wynette. Tammy Wynette had a whole bunch of huge hits on her own before she married George. When they got together, they were the couple of country music, period. But when they got divorced, the audience didn't want to hear about it. It was almost like they were saying, we don't care if you're getting divorced. You're not going to break up. You're going to keep making records together, because George Jones would try to do concerts by himself, and nobody was buying tickets. They weren't interested. Same thing with Tammy Wynette. When they went separate, their ticket sales were just dropped precipitously. But if they did something where they were going to get together, you couldn't get the tickets. They were selling out like hotcakes. Really, really strange. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we move on, but playing our way through the album. This next track, written by Carl Ballou and Clyde Pitts, called Even the Bad Times Are Good.
If there's a chance that your heart misses the words I try to say with kisses, if I don't sing to look as happy as I should, I wouldn't want to live without you. I love everything about you. Yes, even the bad times are good. Your middle name should be Perfection, 'cause that's what
you are to me. Even in my darkest moments, you made it easier to see. I wouldn't change one thing about you if I knew that I could. Yes, even the bad times are good.
You never let me feel mistreated. Your love was all I ever needed. When I was weak, somehow you always understood. You're not afraid of stormy weather. That's what keeps our love together. Yes, even the bad times are good.
Your middle name should be perfection, 'cause that's what you are to me.
Even in my darkest moments, you made it easier to stay.
I wouldn't change one thing about you if I knew that I could. Yes, even the bad times are good. Yes, even the bad times.
Even the bad times are good. From the album Golden Ring, George Jones and Tammy Wynette. There's a lot of hits that are on this album, well, country hits that are on this album. The next song is called Near You. It was also a number one hit for George Jones and Tammy Wynette. But it's weird that it was at all, because it's a song that dates back to 1947. It was like a big band tune written by Francis Craig and his orchestra. Francis Craig was the author of it. And it's an odd arrangement. But the thing is, like, they were divorced in 1975. Then they start putting out these singles. And the couple, like I said, people weren't interested in what they were doing individually. But when they put out this single, it went to number one. It's just so weird. And that's because, you know, they know that they're divorced and they're not doing anything to, like, support them as individuals. But when they got together to sing a song like this, they bought it in enough quantity for it to immediately become a number one hit. It's called Near You.
There's just one place for me, near you.
It's like heaven to be near you.
Times when we're apart and I can't face my heart,
say you
one reason that makes it quite obvious, I suppose, why the public was so supportive of them as a couple is that as a vocal duo, they're phenomenal. The vocals are, right? Hearing them singing on these songs, I mean, I would find it almost impossible to imagine a better pairing of vocals. I mean, Simon and Garfunkel? I think this is, that blows that away because you get the male-female thing happening and they're so pitch perfect and there's so much emotion coming from both of them at the same time. What's weird, though, is that when they were married, they were married for 6 years. They only managed to have one hit song while they were married. When they got divorced, they immediately had back-to-back number one hits. That was Golden Ring and then that song, Near You. The public, I think, just really loved the pathos of it. Or like, oh my God, there's so much drama. We got to keep this. It's like a great, like crazy movie almost. We got to keep this thing going. And George Jones being the incredibly, you know, frightening character that he was with his problems and the way that he was like, you know, more or less ruining his own life. I think that they were riding on that too. It was all like the story was almost as important as the music. The next song in the album is one that does make perfect sense because it's a Buck Owens song. It's a Bakersfield style country song, but it's still a country song and it suits the theme perfectly. It's called Crying Time.
Oh, it's crying time again. You're gonna leave me. I can see that far away look in your eyes. I can tell by the way you hold me, darling, darling, that it won't be long before it's crying time.
Now they say that absence makes the heart grow fonder, and the tears are only right to make love grow. Well, my love for you could never grow no stronger, baby, if I lived to be 100 years old.
Oh, it's crying time again. You're gonna leave me. I can see that far away look in your eyes. I can tell by the way you hold me, darling, darling, that it won't be long before it's crying time.
Now you say that you found someone you love better. That's the way it's happened every time before. And as sure as the sun comes up tomorrow, crying time will start when you walk out the door.
Oh, it's crying time again. You're gonna leave me. I can see that far away look in your eyes. I can tell by the way you hold me, darling, darling, that it won't be long before it's crying time. No, it won't be long before it's crying time.
All right. Hey, well, I'll talk about that later. But of course, that is the Buck Owens tune, Cry on Time. It's a very short album, by the way. So I'm going to have some bonus tracks at the end of the album that we can play with some of the of George and Tammy solo stuff that is probably like leading toward what this is all about. Their marriage was bitter and very public. Everybody knew what that was all about. And I think that that's probably one of the main, people found it to be entertaining They didn't really think of it as far as something that could have been ruining their lives. But this is a quote coming straight out of Wikipedia. After the divorce, the demand for concert bookings with either Tammy or George separately fell off drastically. Tammy found herself strangely ill at ease in front of disappointed and often angry audience members, a few of whom never failed to holler and scream, even in the middle of one of her songs, "Where's George?" Oh, man. She said that sometimes she would reply, "I don't know, and he doesn't know either." Oh, just to add to it, there's probably a lot of truth in that, too. George was maybe doing a little better, but he was having a hard time even getting onto the top 50 with the songs that he was putting out. So if they weren't getting together, they weren't going to be making money. So you could imagine after a bitter divorce where you really start to hate that person, now you've got to work together in order to make a living. And you're making more money than you ever did. But it's under like very, very uncomfortable circumstances. This track might explain some of that. It's called "I've Seen Better Days."
The sun is shining down. Not cloud around. The morning hits me where I lay. Everything is green. A perfect day, it seems. Yes, he's got everything his way. But I've seen better days. I've seen better days. When the rain was pouring, I've seen better days.
The neighbors come and go as they smile and wave hello. And all they look so much like mine. Oh, but she has taken mine away. Lord, I've seen better days. Yes, I've seen better days. Better days. We've seen better days.
don't really know exactly what to say. I think what I was going to try to lean into is just about how this album has got so much emotion involved in it that it has so. That's the reason why I find it so incredible. I don't think this album will ever get old because of the fact that there's so much emotion. I should mention right now also, you're listening to WHBC, WHBC HD in Garden City, New York. The show is American Hit Radio. Tom Ryan and Heidi Morales Ryan here with you. Heidi's running the board at the moment, so she doesn't have to say much. Leaves me to do all the talking. Sometimes that's unfortunate, but it's where we're at. We just finished side one of the album. Like I said, it's a relatively short album. We flip it over. The opening track on side two does a little bit to break some of the heaviness of the other songs. It's a song written by Bobby Braddock and gives you a chance to basically get a few laughs out of the situation and the circumstances. It's called Did You Ever?
Tammy, did you ever?
Not so much that you could notice.
Well, could you estimate how many?
Eight or nine.
Well, will you do it anymore?
As soon as you walk out the door.
Yeah, I just wondered, did you ever?
All the time. Could I fix you once more?
No, thanks, I just had one. Just fine.
Is there any special way?
Oh no, whatever you say.
I just wondered, have you ever?
All the time. Does he look like?
No, he's taller and more handsome.
Well, is he as old?
Oh no.
Does your mother know? I'll bet.
Oh no, I haven't told her yet.
Well, I just wondered, do you ever?
All the time. Just for old time's sake.
No, that would make it harder.
Then how about?
Well, are you sure that you don't mind? Afraid I'd have missed my bus.
I just wondered, did you ever?
All the time.
I just wondered, did you ever?
All the time.
I don't know if you ever saw the album cover. It's an interesting thing because it shows George sitting with his arms crossed in front of him, leaning back, Tammy leaning back on his shoulder. It almost looks like they might be like listening to a lawyer as he's talking, or maybe they're just watching TV or something. It's very unemotional. There's no real smile or anything to make this seem to be fake about it. So, I mean, they're divorced. That's understood by just about everybody who's buying this record. And yet here they are as a couple together singing songs about wedding rings, songs about how even the bad times are good. And then even like a little comic tale, like, did you ever? It's amazing thing. I don't think that there's very many couples that would be able to have pulled this off, especially when they were as well known as these two. And there was so much, I don't know, the press, especially toward George. Well, the next song up is written by Judy Emerson. It's called Tattletale Eyes.
Look in our eyes. get together.
Did we ever really say goodbye? Let our eyes keep looking at.
Admit that it's not all over.
And everybody knows we're more than friends. Tattletale lies told on our minds. Oh, it's something how they ring between.
Midway through side two, we're moving along quickly. This stuff is like, I don't think I've ever had an album like run so quickly. Yeah, I can't talk that much, which is good because I've got other things I want to play that we can tack on the end. The next song is another song that actually was a hit for a few other people. It was written by Ray Price with Rusty Gabbard. Ray Price's version was released in 1954, had a hit with it. It was since covered by people like Elvis and Ronnie Millsap, Willie Nelson, J.J. Cale did it. Eric Clapton did a version of it, I read somewhere. I don't think I know it. And it was a big hit for somebody named Gail Davies in 1980, like a relapse hit, I suppose you could call it, coming back again, yet again, having almost a 30-year run of it being on the pop charts. But here is the version as performed by Tammy Wynette and George Jones. It's called I'll Be There If You Ever Want Me.
Well, there ain't no change strong enough to hold me. Ain't no breeze big enough to slow me. Never have seen a river that's too wide.
There ain't no jail tight enough to lock me. Ain't no man big enough to stop me.
I'll be there if you ever want me by your side.
So love me if you're ever gonna love me. Never have seen a road too rough to ride. There ain't no chain strong enough to hold me. Ain't no breeze strong enough to slow me.
I'll be there
if you ever want me by your side.
Mm-hmm.
There
All right. Let's just keep moving on. The next track is interesting because of the songwriters. It's one of the songwriters is credited to Johnny Mathis, but don't misinterpret that. It's Johnny Country Mathis. Poor guy had the same name, so he had to basically throw himself a middle name, Country, to not be, you know, mistaken for the other Johnny Mathis. But it's also co-written with Jimmy Lee Fothery, which is a guy that I know as a rockabilly singer, player, guitar player, too. I was even in a band that did one of his songs about 20 years ago. And I thought that he was just one of the most obscure people that we'd ever covered. I didn't even realize that he was responsible for writing this song. It's called If You Don't, Somebody Else Will.
If you don't wanna kiss me, say so, baby, somebody else will. Somebody else will. Somebody else will. If you don't wanna kiss me, say so, baby, somebody else will. Somebody else could kiss me better. Oh, I ain't a gonna beg you for your love anymore. Ever since the first time I have done learn the score, I thought I had to have you once, but that's in the past. Since I find I'm free from you, yes, I'm free at last. If you don't wanna hold me, say so, baby, somebody else will. Somebody else will. Somebody else will. If you don't wanna hold me, say so, baby, somebody else will. Somebody else will hold me better. If you don't wanna be mine, say so, baby, somebody else will. Somebody else will. Somebody else will. If you don't wanna be mine, say so, baby, somebody else will. Somebody else could suit me better. If you don't wanna kiss me, say so, baby, somebody else will.
Which takes us to the last song on this album. We've been playing the entirety of the album Golden Ring, credited to George Jones and Tammy Wynette. There's one aspect of their relationship that I didn't mention about this. This was like when they were talking about, because George Jones, who would even admit that he was sometimes carrying a torch for her, but everybody else was trying to, like, more or less telling him that he's got to team up with her again. And he said that, quote, this wasn't my idea. In fact, I hated working with her. It brought back too many unpleasant memories. And when some fans saw us together, they got it in their heads that we were going to get back together romantically. It was like, that was obviously not going to happen. I think that that might have been more obvious to Tammy than anybody else, as it turns out. Now, this next song, though, is written by somebody who had a lot to do with Tammy Wynette's career. It's credited to Carmel Taylor, Monroe Fields, and Billy Sherrill. Billy Sherrill is sort of like the king of countrypolitan. He's one of those guys that basically came to Nashville without having a lot of experience in country music. So when he started, he actually was working with Sam Phillips in Nashville. So he had sort of like a rock and roll pop background. So when he started working with country artists, his approach was different. And he was, you know, piling on a whole bunch of sounds, which eventually came to be one of the most popular and well-known styles of country music at that time. It was called countrypolitan, very slick, and like what we're hearing here. And he's that guy. So he's also a songwriter, and he's one of the people who wrote this song called Keep the Change.
It was so good when he loved you. I could tell by the sunshine on your face. you're not smiling, and I don't see that sunshine like before. I know you've tried to make it work, but I don't think he loves you.
That's the album in its entirety, Golden Ring. Hope you found that interesting. I want to like play some of their earlier hits as solo artists because I think that it more or less suggests what was to come. Billy Sherrill is responsible for Tammy Wynette having a career. He was the one who signed her. She showed up. Her name was Virginia Wynette Pugh. And he said, we're going to change your name to Tammy Wynette. And he wrote a song for her. And it became her first huge hit. We'll play that back-to-back with her second biggest hit, two songs that mean completely opposite things, Stand By Your Man and D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman, giving all your love to just one man. You'll have bad times, and he'll have good times, doing things that you don't understand. But if you love him, you forgive him, even though he's hard to understand. And if you love him, oh, be proud of him, 'cause after all, he's just a man. When nights are cold and lonely, stand by your man and show the world you love him. Keep giving all the love you can. Stand by your man. Thank you.
is 4 years old and quite a little man. So we spell out the words we don't want him to understand, like T-O-Y or maybe S-U-R-P-R-I-S-E. But the words we're hiding from him now tear the heart right out of me. Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes final today. Me and little J-O-D will be going away. I love you both and this will be pure H-E-double-L for me. That we could stop this D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Watch him smile, he thinks it's Christmas or his fifth birthday. And he thinks C-U-S-T-O-G-Y spells fun or play. When I speak, 'cause I can't spell away this hurt that's dripping down my cheek. Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes final today. Me and little J-O-D will be going.
I'll squeeze in one more here. I wanted to mention that Billy Sherrill had a lot to do with George Jones' career as well. He produced almost all of his stuff, and including this next track, which I think is one of the most saddest country songs ever written. It's a beautiful song. It's called "He Stopped Loving Her Today," and I'd like to send it out as a dedication to a friend who is a lovely friend of ours who just passed, named Jody McDowell Stevens. This is in her memory. He stopped loving her today.
He said, "I'll love you till I die." She told him, "You'll forget in time." As the years went slowly by, she still preyed upon his mind. Kept her picture on his wall. Went half crazy now and then. But he still loved her through it all. Hoping she'd come back again. Kept some letters by his bed. Dated 1962. He had underlined in red every single "I love you." I went to see him just today. But I didn't see no tears. All dressed up to go away. First time I'd seen him smile in years.
he stopped loving her today. They placed a wreath upon his door, and soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today. You know, she came to see him one last time. Oh, and we all wondered if she would. And it kept running through my mind. This time, he's over her for good. He stopped loving her.